Hello and welcome to This Podcast is written on the back of the Declaration of Independence, a show in which we don't get confused by the moral ambiguity of our violent actions. Surprise attack! That was too loud. That's going to blow the mic out. Sorry, listeners.
That was very loud. Hello, my name's Callum.
Hello, my name is Chelsea.
And we watched Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse.
The Spider-Man.
Spider-Man's. Spider-People.
Plurals. Not just people! Spider creatures.
Spider-thems.
Yes.
This film's great.
Love it.
We're watching one that we can both universally agree on.
Who would have thunk it?
Is a good film. We both saw this in the cinema. Neither of us are new to this one. I don't know how that's going to affect the podcast episode.
It's probably going to be boring because we're not going to argue about this.
Exactly. I feel like I wrote in my notes, at like the top of my notes, I wrote, if I smack talk about this film, please know that it is just because we need to inject comedy into the podcast.
I mean, I wouldn't say it's that funny a podcast to start with.
But I have nothing bad to actually say about this film.
No.
Like, anything bad, inverted commas, that I say about this film is purely...
out of love.
Devil's advocate.
Sorry, devil's what?
Devil's advocate. Don't make this devil's another episode avocat. Where you just take the piss out of how I speak.
Devil's advocate.
That's what I said.
Yep. Definitely what you said.
Jesus. Yeah. I love this film. This film's great. Legitimately the best Spider-Man film out there.
Yeah. This, I haven't actually seen this since we saw it in the cinema. This was my first time. So that's probably about, a year and a half, 2 years since
yeah,
it came out?
Yeah, in the before times.
In the before times.
Yeah.
It honestly could have been 5 years. It could have been 2 months. Who knows?
I think this was one of the rare films that I went back to the cinema to see a second time.
Yes, you saw it twice, didn't you?
Because I had just like a day off from work and was like, yeah, I'm gonna pay fiver on the cheap day at the cinema to see this again.
Without me, I might add.
I think you were working.
I was off doing a really bad Christmas job, I think.
Yeah, you were.
Mine was early last year.
Yeah.
Let's never talk about that again.
Oh, no, we won't. But yes, I think this, Mad Max and a handful of others, Scott Pilgrim versus the World, you know, classic dick film boy films to go see at the
cinema.
Every
film student's favourite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I really like Edgar Wright. Yeah, I really like Edgar Wright. He's a good director, but there are other people who make films. Yeah. Anyway.
So before we get properly into it, we might sound a little bit different this week. I'm not sure. Depends what editing magic we can do. But usually we would sit in the corridor with Callum in the cupboard with all our doors closed. But we live in a tiny flat and we've put up our Christmas tree so we can no longer for the month of December close our living room door.
I'm adamant that the average listener will not be able to tell you that one of the four doors in our flat is open or not.
I hope not.
On this £80 USB microphone.
It was less than that, it was secondhand.
It was secondhand.
Thrifty.
What good boys we were. Recycling.
This is quality content.
Oh, yeah.
So this is our second Nicolas Cage Marvel movie.
It is.
Of course, it is not at all a Nicolas Cage film, but we really, at this point in the year, needed to see something that we both like.
Yeah, in terms of Nicolas Cage content, I think he has about a page worth of dialogue. He was in a studio for maybe a day, max. Mm. It was quite an easy little gig for him. But out of the gates, I think he does a good job.
He does a very good job. It's a well-chosen bit
of cast well, and he brings a bit of extra spice to that. He's not just...
Let me add a little spice.
He is adding a bit of spice to it. He's not just coming in and doing a Nicolas Cage voice. But he's not adding too much spice. He's not pretending to be a CGI mole in this one. And doing his weird little nerdy voice that he did in G-Force. He's doing a good job.
So for people who haven't seen the film, first of all, if you want to, it's on Netflix now. So if you don't want spoilers, don't listen to this because we're going to talk about it properly.
Please watch it.
Please do watch it. It's really good.
It's legitimately a great film. An Oscar winner.
Did it win?
Yeah, it won Best Animated Picture.
Amazing.
And rightly so.
Well done. Would you like to give us a little rundown of what the film is and about Nicolas Cage's part in said picture?
Miles Morales is a half black, half Puerto Rican teenage boy living in New York. He gets bitten by a radioactive spider.
We've all heard that one before.
He turns into Spider-Man, but Spider-Man already exists in this universe.
Peter Parker is a thing.
Peter Parker is a thing. Peter Parker dies. Then Peter B. Parker suddenly appears at the grave of Peter Parker. Boom. This spider's come from an alternate reality, and alternate realities are bleeding through because of a machine that Kingpin has built. So we get introduced to various different spider people, or spider thems, should we say, including Miles Morales, Peter B. Parker, Spider-Man Noir, who is Nicolas Cage, a kind of a hard, gritty, black and white, Sin City-esque take on Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm. Spider-Gwen.
Penny Parker, who is a Japanese schoolgirl with a robotic...
Future New York. So I think the idea is that...
Big Hero 6 style-y, new San Francisco or whatever. Yeah. Yeah. And then finally Spider-Ham, is a Tex Avery style cartoon pig who was bitten by a radioactive pig, I believe.
Who was bitten by a radioactive pig. I don't know if he was and a that pig. Somehow... Was he a pig to start with?
I think he was a pig and he was bitten by a radioactive pig. And then somehow Spider comes into the mix.
But if he was a pig bitten by a radioactive pig... He went to Aunt May's house. That's how all the Spider-Mans end up together.
Yeah.
The spider people and animals all end up in the same place because they've gone to Aunt May's house. Because mm-hmm. they've gone, well, that's the only person I know here.
Yeah, yeah.
Surely Aunt May would have gone, you're a pig. You're a talking pig. You're not a person.
Oh, I think there's a reason that the three most bizarre versions of the Spider-Thems, i.e. Spider-Man Noir, Penny Parker, and Spider-Ham, are introduced by someone else.
Yeah.
It's so that all of those questions are kind of answered in the background by someone else. Because they're not fucking important.
No.
It's not important, really. You know their motivations, you know their characters, and that's about enough.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they have to team up to take down bad guys and get people back to their dimensions.
Mm-hmm.
And Miles has to become Spider-Man. Because the Spider-Man from his reality is dead.
Yes.
It's fucking brilliant.
It's so good. Let's talk about how pretty and beautiful and gorgeous this film is.
Yeah, the first thing that's going to strike you is the animation style. It is a 3D animated film,
mm-hmm.
but it's very much heavily inspired by actual comic book art and graphics in particular.
Yeah, so I believe the animators 3D animated it and then hand drew over pretty much every frame. I think.
Lot of the elements have hand drawn things brought in a Scott Pilgrim-esque sort of turn. A lot of the animation is accompanied by sort of live comic words and text on screen as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the one that I find the most enjoyable is comics are printed with sort of very basic tonal colours,
mm-hmm.
That are made up of small dots.
Yes.
And then overlaid on top of each other to create gradual colours and different schemes. And that is brought into the film as well. So they use that to play with like focus as well. Yeah. Like things in the background have this kind of double printed feelings so that they look out of focus when they're not.
It's gorgeous. Beautiful. And may I say, what a flipping comeback for Sony Pictures.
That's my second note. Bearing in mind, this film was the film they released after the Emoji Movie.
Who would have thought it was by the same people?
I mean, at the beginning of our Blu-ray copy, there is a trailer for Hotel Transylvania 3, which is a fine kids film. Nothing against the Hotel Transylvania franchise. But these are so starkly different.
So not on a par at all.
In terms of the artistry and the audience and the seeming goals. Whereas something like Hotel Transylvania 3, really nicely made, kids, fun, wacky cartoons. Whereas this is a reinvention of a character that we know so incredibly well. So incredibly well at this point. We have seen... When this came out, we have seen 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 mainline live-action Spider-Man films in the course of about 10, 15 years.
Yikes.
Which is bonkers, bearing in mind that there are three different Spider-Men playing them. Yeah, this film's gorgeous.
It's just, we can't praise it enough, honestly.
I don't think there's been another comic book film that has so successfully attempted a comic book style.
Mm.
Like an actual, like, artistic style, other than Scott Pilgrim.
Yes.
And Ang Lee's Hulk film. But we don't talk about that because it's a pile of shit.
Long as I'm in here, you're just gonna sit out there, aren't you?
So there is one way to tell that this is a Sony film.
Yeah.
And that is that every piece of technology has Sony written on it.
Oh, fuck.
Product
they're
placement
such little,
everywhere.
They're such little whores for their product placement, aren't they, Sony? Sony's always a film company that I feel, before I've seen the film, I always tarnish it because I go, Sony, before I then watch the film. Then when I watch the film, I can judge it on its own merits.
Yeah.
But Sony are well known for things like their obnoxious product placement in films. And I think it all stems down to, do you remember the Sony leak that happened because of Seth Rogen, James Franco's North Korea comedy film, The Interview? And because of that, a lot of emails got leaked because North Korea hacked them and released mm-hmm. them as sort of blackmailing them, basically, to not release the film. And I believe Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse was one of the things that got kind of preemptively announced because of those email leaks.
Mm-hmm.
But also, a lot of other bullshit got announced, like the marketing campaign for, I believe at that point, The Amazing Spider-Man 2. Which is the Andrew Garfield one.
Was it that long ago?
Yeah. Because that was about to come out, I think. And some of the emails that went back and forth about that and them trying to make it into a full universe to compete with Marvel were so horribly cringy. It was like, what would Peter Parker like? Maybe we can do Spider-Man, like, tough mud runs. Maybe we can... Ooh. Maybe Spider-Man could be on energy drink bottles.
Ooh.
Maybe... And it was like... Not only things that they could slap the Spider-Man logo on outside the film, but things that they wanted to put into the film. So they were saying, like, oh, Spider-Man needs to be, like, hot on social media. Can Spider-Man have, like, an app in the film called, like, Slingers?
Or when actually all we want to see is pizza time.
Pizza. We just want to see... we want to see... The thing about Spider-Man that makes him interesting is that he is a teenager.
Yes.
I think, ultimately, that's what sets him apart from all of the other superheroes.
Yeah, and that's what I really enjoy about the newer Tom Holland ones, is that...
He's a teenager.
He, or at least in his early 20s, he looks young enough to be a teenager. He acts like a teenager.
He goes to school in the fucking films.
Yeah.
Whereas they tried that with Andrew Garfield, but he's...
He's too old.
He's far too old, and he's far too fucking attractive to be a nerd.
Yeah.
With his fucking tall hair and his skateboards. But yeah, and that's what I think, again, what this film gets right, is that your lead character, Miles Morales, is a teenager.
Yeah.
And when he gets these powers forced upon him, he has to deal with that great responsibility. You know, the phrase that they try to shirk away from in the film and make a joke out of. But in this film, they've just rebranded it and call it Great Expectations.
Yeah.
It's so rambly. It's hard to discuss a film I like so much.
I know.
Can I talk about another aspect of the animation?
Yeah, okay.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah. Show some more love. We don't show the films on this podcast enough love.
Yeah.
Because generally they're fucking shite.
Can I talk about how much I love the cinematography of Left Behind?
Gosh. Wasn't it just beautiful?
I loved
that
how
very
flat
clearly
everything
aeroplane
was.
Set where there's nothing happening. Oh, such grey lighting. Wasn't it beautiful? Ooh.
So, I think a lot of people have talked about this. A lot of people probably know it, but I feel like I'd like to relay it.
Mm-hmm.
They animated certain characters in different ways
mm-hmm.
to show their ability. So in animation, there is a thing called animating on the ones or the twos.
Yes.
So a film is like a flick book when it's an animated film. And basically, if you animate on the twos, you're only drawing every other page of that flip book. So you get a slightly jerky motion, whereas if you're animating on the ones, you draw on every page of that flip book.
Yeah.
Miles, to start off with, gets animated on the twos when he's swinging,
mm-hmm.
so that he has a jerky, slightly clumsy look to him, whereas Peter Parker is animated on the ones. And then slowly, as over the film, as he progresses in those moments of clarity, when he takes those leaps of faith, when he becomes a better Spider-Man, his animation turns into animating on the ones, and he becomes smoother and clearer and better at being Spider-Man.
That's all for nerd talk this week. Let's go back to Nicolas Cage.
Kingpin looks like a fucking potato.
Does how does he fit in the car? He's bigger than the car he drives in.
I don't care. The bit that got me is at the end, that big sequence of fighting between Miles and Kingpin, where they're on top of the train and they're in the middle of like this sort of hadron collider.
Super collider.
Yeah,
and it's bringing lots of elements of the different universes. So there's buildings, skyscrapers.
There's like a giant cassette tape flying through the air, and Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's Spider-Man. He's got sticky feet, sticky hands, webs. He climbs all over it.
Yeah.
And they do. All the Spider-Mans do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then Kingpin joins in the fight. And he's like some, I wrote, gravity-defying potato man. Like, Kingpin's just a strong dude.
Yeah.
Big, strong dude. But he's like fucking flipping all over the place. I don't care. But it's just fucking funny. Because he's massive. They've clearly based him on the comic books.
Yeah.
He looks like a fucking, like, he looks like a Weetabix.
He's the size of a bus with a head the size of a normal head.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just a fucking square of a man. It's great.
I also really enjoy this version of Doc Ock. I'm so fed up of seeing old white man Doc Ock. I kind of really enjoy this semi-hippie scientist woman. Who you would underestimate easily.
And that was, I believe, like a sort of, not last minute, but like a late decision to the film was that they were like, this is boring. What can we do?
Yeah.
And it was such a great choice because Catherine Hahn does the voice.
Yeah.
Who's brilliant.
She's amazing.
And the design on her is great. And because it's completely new, it is a complete surprise when that moment comes in the film.
Mm.
You think maybe she is evil. Maybe she is a bad guy, but what villain? And you kind of think back to all the female villains or whatever, and you're like, who could that be? And then it's just like, no, fuck, she's Doc Ock. And you're like, that's fuck. It's just ace. It's just ace, that
also,
moment.
Also, Lily Tomlin as Aunt May. I'm always happy to see Lily Tomlin turn up.
Mm.
I needed more. I always need more Lily Tomlin in my life.
I think that's one thing that you could say about this film is that some of those side characters need more.
Oh, yeah. I need more Spider-Ham.
I want to see more Penny Parker.
She was cool.
She's got a
spider robot.
Yeah,
so
kind of a mech.
Her spider is a sort of mech, like a robot spider.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it bit her. I don't know the lore of Penny Parker. But this little spider sort of controls a big spider robot.
Mm.
I think the idea is that she's built it.
I think it's her father who builds it.
Ah, okay.
I think, and then that's the death that she has to avenge as Spider-Man.
I see,
Spider
that makes sense.
Robot, whatever her name is. But yeah.
She's great.
And all of the different...
And she's drawn like manga slightly.
She's a sort of an anime hand-drawn style, much like Spider-Ham is Tex Avery style, Looney Tunes kind of animation. And then obviously Nicolas Cage as Spider-Noir is completely sort of black and white, but a very stylistic, stark black and white.
Yeah,
as
he's got like a cape that is sort of a big trench coat.
Yeah.
And there's always wind blowing through it.
He's got a fedora.
Where's that wind coming from?
Yeah.
And I believe the line was, I wrote it down because it made me giggle. Wherever I go, the wind follows and the wind smells like rain. It's such film noir bullshit and I love it.
It's great. I think like when he's first introduced, he talks about like drinking milk at the bar. Like, he goes to a bar and he always drinks, like, a mudslide or whatever, which is a chocolate milkshake. But he's this hardcore noir Spider-Man. I love all of the different iterations.
Yeah.
Out of all of them, if they were to do a spin-off solo movie, mm-hmm. who would you want to see one about?
Ooh. I mean, my leaning is to Spider-Noir, but I feel like we've sort of seen that film. Just not with Spider-Man. I think Penny Parker would be real fun.
Yeah. I think Spider-Gwen. You don't see a lot Spider of her, Gwen, her universe.
I think the idea is that her universe isn't massively different from...
It's like this neon pink sort of like...
Only when it's coming through the Collider, though. It's not when you actually see the flashback.
Yeah. But I'd love to see a Spider-Gwen film anyway, because I know that's a character that a lot of people want to see more of anyway, regardless of whether that's live action or animated. But yeah. But talking about like spin-offs, I know Marvel are currently, Marvel as in MCU, Marvel, are currently making live action Tom Holland Spider-Man 3.
Yes.
And
Something Home. We don't know the title yet, do we?
And there are a lot of rumours and
Home
talk.
And Away.
Home and Away, is that your guess?
Yeah, it's just the Australian sitcom. Soap opera.
Yeah, because they're always called Home, aren't they? Because it was Homecoming, Far From Home.
Home on the Range.
Home on the Range, you're going Home on the Home and Away.
Home and Away. I'm just stealing other titles. Home Alone.
Homework.
That
sounds boring. Home Alone's a good one.
I know, but you can't call it Spider-Man Home Alone.
Why not? I think that could work.
Can we have a remake which is exactly like Spider-Verse, but it's Miles Morales doing Home Alone? Please. I'd watch the hell out of that.
What I was getting at is that there's lots of rumours and talk online that the next live-action Spider-Man film is going to be a Spider-Verse film.
Ooh.
As in, it's going to be all three of the live-action Spider-Men.
Right.
As in, Tom Holland, Andrew Garfield, and Tobey Maguire.
Right. And they're all going to do like that scene in the cartoon where he's like, that's the other Spider-Man. That's the other Spider-Man. Who are you? Who are you?
That's going to be the concept of the third film.
Amazing.
Is that, see, my thought is...
We've seen Spider-Verse. We don't need that.
Don't bother. Yeah. Spider-Verse has done it and they've done it better.
Yeah.
Then they've done it better than you'll ever do.
What is interesting is they're all Peter Parker.
Yeah. They'll all be different versions of Peter Parker.
And that weirds me out a little bit.
Yeah.
Because also their universes are meant to be the same universe. They're all in modern for the time the film is made in New York.
Their universes nothing, are very similar.
There's nothing within those films to go, oh, they're in a different universe. Whereas in this, you know, Miles is in a slightly different universe to the one we live in now.
Yeah. Oh, it's established through like
PDNY
and a lot of the billboards. There's a reoccurring motif of a billboard for Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
So you see that Peter B. Parker.
Yeah.
Comes from our universe because it's a Coca-Cola.
Yes.
Whereas Miles comes from a different one because I believe it's called Cola Coca or something.
Something like that.
It's like slightly different, or it's spelt with a K.
Yeah.
And, like, in Miles' universe, there's a Shaun of the Dead sequel.
And that's why that's the universe I want to live in.
And I believe Bridesmaids is called Baby Shower. And
Hang on, I take it back.
John Mulaney and Nick Kroll are in a stage show in Miles' universe called Hi Hello instead of Oh Hello.
Yeah.
But there's, like, little ticks to that. But, yeah, I see what you mean. I kind of feel the same. It's like, what's the point? These universes are so similar. They're going to have vaguely different Spider-Men, like, in terms of their portrayals.
Yeah.
But it is still slightly nerdy teenager, has great powers foisted upon him. Oh, no, Uncle Ben, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, and I guess they're all going to be at different points in their Spidey lives, because Andrew Garfield is too old now to be the same age as
Oh, fuck Tom yeah. Holland. Like Tom Holland's early 20s, Andrew Garfield's going to be about 30. Yeah.
So are they going to play...
Tobey Maguire's easily 40-odd.
Are they going to play the same gag that they play with Peter B. Parker in that he's washed up, he's divorced from MJ, he's
Yeah, maybe.
Weight?
I mean, he
we've
won't,
seen it.
Andrew Garfield won't be divorced from MJ.
No.
Because, because it was Gwen Stacy in his version.
Oh, yeah.
She's dead. She fucking died at the end of the second one, and then they're like, come back for a third one, and it never fucking happened. But yeah, I know a lot of people are excited about that concept.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of articles, will it happen? And woo, mm-hmm. Tobey Maguire wants more money or more screen time or whatever. And I'm just like, I quite enjoy Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Just let him continue what he's doing.
Yeah.
Which is being Spider-Man, and this time he's going to fight Scorpion or whatever, you know?
Yeah.
I don't need more universes to collide. That's Spider-Verse's thing.
Yeah. So I have a piece of trivia you might like.
Yes.
The first time we meet Uncle Aaron... He's yeah. watching the episode of Community where Troy's in his Spider-Man PJs.
Yeah, he's watching Series 2, Episode 1.
You fucking nerd. What's it called?
What's it called?
Come on, you know this.
Anthropology 101?
I mean, I didn't look that up, so...
I mean,
I
would
assume...
I think it must
be. It's the first one with Betty White, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's the first anthropology, and that's traditionally what they do. But obviously that comes with more background knowledge that... When the idea of Miles Morales as a film mm-hmm. first got floated around the time of Andrew Garfield,
yeah,
there was a lot of campaigns
online
to get Donald Glover to play Miles Morales.
Because he would be great at that age.
Particularly that age. Yeah, he's too old now, yeah. really, and too mature in and of himself. But at that age, he'd have been a fucking great Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He does a whole routine about it on one of his stand-up specials. Yeah,
amazing.
Where... they're talking about like the haters who were like, no, you can't make Spider-Man black. That's like getting Michael Cera to play Shaft. And then Donald Glover's like, I want to see that film. Let Michael Cera play Shaft.
Also, this is one of Mr. Stan Lee's last cameos.
Oh, yes.
And pretty much every animator wanted to animate him.
Mm.
So apparently... I haven't tested this out because it would take too long. If you freeze frame pretty much any train that goes past, he's on every train nearly.
Oh,
because
that's
everyone
cool.
wanted to have a go at drawing him.
That's really cool.
I've taken this from IMDb. If it's wrong, don't at me because I can't be dealing with it.
But I mean, it is. It was incredible. It was genuinely really poignant to see that.
Because
Stan died not long before it came out. About. A month or two, I think, without them realising, they created quite a poignant little moment.
Yeah, because it's about... So Miles goes into a cheap costume shop after Peter Parker dies to buy a Spider-Man costume to go to his funeral. And because he started getting these powers, he knows he's doing Spider-Man shit.
Yeah.
And Stan Lee is the owner of the costume shop.
Yeah.
And Miles goes, can I bring this back if it doesn't fit? And he goes, oh, it always fits, eventually. Which is really sweet.
Yeah.
And then he does the, like, wink, no refunds allowed type
thing. Yeah, there's a little gag to it.
But it's really beautiful.
It's a lovely little cameo from him. And, I can remember in the cinema that genuinely getting to me. Because that perfectly encaptures the ethos of the film. Which is that everyone can be... Spider-Man, inverted commas. It's about stepping up to that responsibility and making that costume fit you.
Yeah.
And finding your own identity in it. But yeah, lovely.
Snickers and mash. Bubbles and squeak. Smoked eel pie. Chef. Haggis!
You have to live in one of these universes. Kingpin's done a big machine. Oh, shit. I'm stuck in one of these universes. What universe do you want it to be? One of these spider creature people universes.
I don't know. You see... Miles's is the most like ours, but it has a
Shaun of the Dead sequel.
Not that I necessarily really want that, but I just want to see it.
Yeah, let's do fuck, marry, kill. So visit, live, avoid three of the universes?
Oh, I don't know, because you don't see much of...
What you imagine those universes
I'd like to
be like.
Visit Spider-Ham's.
Yeah.
Because that's just like a literal Looney Tunes
yeah.
cartoon.
You get hit with a mallet and you get flat and then you pop back out again yeah. and you're fine.
I'd like to avoid Peter B. Parker's universe.
Just a bit.
Because that's ours.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Our universe sucks.
Don't need that.
And...
Coronavirus Spider-Man. He's got the mask already.
He has got the mask already. And then what was the other option? Liv.
Liv, which one are you living in?
Let's say Penny Parker's.
Yeah?
Yeah, why
Future
not?
Future New York.
Yeah.
Tech Haven.
That'd be cool.
That would be cool. I'm definitely living in Spider-Noir's. I would love it.
Yeah.
Just that over-stylized black and white.
Everything's a Venetian
Everyone's
blind.
Hot. Everything, yeah. I just love it.
Everyone's hot.
Everyone's hot.
Is this Nicolas Cage's most attractive performance?
Oh, yeah. Cartoon.
Is this
noir
the
Spider-Man.
Cage that you would fuck the most?
Is it embarrassing if I say yes?
I don't know.
So far.
Yeah?
Yeah, probably so far.
I mean, yeah, I think that's fair enough.
I like an older man.
Are there any others that we've watched where you've thought, maybe I could fuck this guy?
What have we watched? Benjamin Franklin Gates? Absolutely not.
No?
No. He's just cheap Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
Doesn't do it well.
Just hold out for the
Looking
real thing.
Weird. Face off. I can't deal with him putting his hand on my face all the time.
No, he's like, was it suck your tongue? No. Don't want to fuck that Cage.
Nicolas Cage as Joe Exotic. I mean, it would creep me out too much.
I mean, I don't think Nicolas Cage as Joe Exotic would want to fuck you.
No, that's true.
Either.
Oh, yeah, because he's gay.
Because he's gay.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah.
He's gay and he's broke. And he's never going to financially
Sorry,
recover from
you,
this.
Are you saying that I don't date broke dudes?
No,
I'm quoting
Joe Sorry. Exotic.
Okay.
I'm gay and I'm broke. I think was one of his catchphrases, wasn't it?
It was so
Do
long
you
ago.
That?
It was a different world,
Do you
mate.
Remember that?
Different world.
Do you know what
we
feels...
were all obsessed with it.
Do you know what
so
feels
long...
more recent?
What's that?
Is the whole man sucking a guy's dick for Evian water in the Fire Festival documentary.
Festival.
And that's further yeah. ago, but that yeah. feels more relevant than Joe Exotic. What a flash in the pan.
Yeah. Raising Arizona Cage, probably not, because the hair was a bit... He just looked like he was either taking meth or was going to lose his shit on me at any minute.
I feel like that's the youngest and most yes. conventionally attractive Cage you're going to get, though.
Oh, Moonstruck Cage, though.
He's got no hand. He lost his hand.
Yeah, I'm not fussed. He's disabled, that's fine. But you come into the bakery and he's just covered in sweat and, like, glistening.
You're on for that.
He thought
he was a wolf, though, basically,
yeah,
didn't
he? Yeah. No, I'd do that. Yeah.
Okay.
Bangkok Dangerous, no.
No.
Cher, yes.
That doesn't count.
Okay.
That's not a Nick Cage.
Oh. Adaptation. What did he look like in Adaptation?
Curly hair.
Oh, no.
Very neurotic.
No, the Charlie Kaufman, no.
Or do you go for the other Kaufman, who's a bit more chill?
Neither of them.
No, I don't think any of them are particularly attractive.
They were both a bit creepy, yeah. if anything. Ghost Rider, too intense. Drive Angry, just gross human being. The mole in G-Force.
Speckles?
Speckles, was that?
Is that what
yeah,
he's called?
He's got a weird nose thing. No. And none of the ones we've done since, so Moonstruck Cage it is. There you go, listeners.
Which one's which? Number one, most fuckable, is it Moonstruck or Spider-Noir?
Well, I think it has to be Moonstruck simply because I'm not sure how... physically it would work with a cartoon character.
Or what he looks like under the mask.
Or what he looks like under the mask.
No.
I mean, just keep the mask on, really. You
but
know?
He would have to take the costume off. He could keep the mask on.
Yeah.
But unless he's got a zipper to pee in.
Does Spider-Man have a zipper? Because,
like, does Spider-Man pee?
Having worn jumpsuits to bars and things.
Yeah.
It's not fun.
That's the big question this week. So that I can vet whether you've actually listened to the podcast or not. Friends, find us on social media, at Nick Cage Pod. How does Spider-Man pee?
I lost my hand! I lost my bride!
Have we got any Amazon reviews?
We have. So, because we've loved it so much, I went looking for one-star reviews, because it's no fun to listen to other people like us who really enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I found two.
I don't know how I'm going to handle this.
There were a handful of one-stars.
What fucking idiots.
I know.
Art is subjective, but not this art.
This one I like just because of the final line of the review.
Okay.
ShyGirl45 gives Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, which is the title of the review, one star. Hubby and I hated it, and now I know by the use of the word hubby, this is not my kind of person.
Yeah, I think I hate you, ShyGirl40-whatever.
45. Hubby and I hated it. We enjoy a good film. Rented it from Amazon. Expected to be wowed as reviews were so good. Amazing graphics. Story poor. I fell asleep. Aimed at youngsters, Mabe. This Nan wanted her money back. Lol.
This Nan?
This Nan wanted her money back. Lol.
Wow. Who identifies themselves as a Nan?
Sue. S-U. Sue.
Yeah.
Gives it one star. Calls the review. Pass. Says. Sorry. I'm still laughing at pass.
Pass.
Pass. Sue says. Purchased for my son, who thought it was boring. Really bad review, considering he's obsessed with Spider-Man and spiders. What kid is obsessed with spiders? That's creepy as fuck.
But, you know, kids like things.
No, get your kids seen to. No one should be obsessed with spiders, though. Like, obsessed, that's the word she uses. Obsessed.
What should a young boy be obsessed with?
Oh, I don't know. Fucking robots. Or Barbie dolls. Anything. Just not fucking spiders. Snakes, fine. Be obsessed with snakes. They're cool. They can, like, smell with their tongue. What do spiders do? What do they do apart from creep people out and spin webs to kill other insects?
So smelling with your tongue is interesting and unique.
Yeah.
Spinning web out of your butthole to catch flies is not.
No.
No. Okay.
It's evil.
You're the shit, Alexi. You're the shit. You're the shit. You're the shit.
You know. On a side note, though, this is the start of my official petition to be cast as the unbeatable squirrel girl.
Yeah.
I'm starting it now. If Nicolas Cage can be two Marvel heroes, then I can be Squirrel Girl.
Well, he was nearly a DC character as well.
Excuse me?
He nearly played Superman for Tim Burton.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that would have been interesting to see,
that would be a good
it?
Little side episode one day. Because he does, and also he does finally get to play the role of Superman at one point. In Teen Titans Go to the Movies.
Oh, we need to watch that.
I quite enjoyed
it. I've heard it's good.
I've watched it. It's quite fun.
Okay.
hands up, I quite liked it.
Shall we talk about Nicolas Cage in this Nicolas Cage podcast?
Nah. He does a good job.
Yeah, doesn't do much.
Doesn't do a lot.
He doesn't have any major over-the-top things, but he really nails the film noir.
The slight talkie out of the corner of his mouth.
First talking like a private investigator.
Look, there's a Maltese Falcon. That kind of thing.
Yeah.
He nails
that.
That's
great.
But doesn't put it on too fast or too much. Yeah, he just does a really good job. All of the voice cast do a really well cast in this. They go for the right level of, like, famous actors via actual what's appropriately for the character, rather than going, there's a Dracula, Adam Sandler. Like, they actually get someone who's good for the fucking role.
Yeah. Before we go.
Yes.
As the festive season is nearly upon us.
Yeah.
I would like to talk about the Spider-Man Christmas album.
Yes.
Which is referenced multiple times and within this film. Is it a real thing?
Well, kind of.
Please let it be.
Kind of a real thing. Let me, So, yeah, they actually released some of the Spider-Man Christmas music from the fictional album A Very Spidey Christmas that Miles' version of Peter Parker releases and talks about. It's a full EP of songs.
Ugh.
And they released some of them on YouTube. Check it. This is a Miles Morales version of Joy to the World.
Oh, yeah.
Very trendy. But nice. I think this is the main one that everyone's after. Wait for it.
Oh, spotty bells, spotty bells, swinging through the town.
Oh, what fun to sling a web and take the bad guys down. And obviously, Chris Pine, who plays that version of Spider-Man, is having a whale of a fucking time doing his little 12-line cameo as Spider-Man and then being asked to sing a whole make-believe version of Jingle Bells.
That might be my new Christmas jam.
Talking
That's
about,
overtaking Elton John.
Talking about Christmas,
yes.
We need to talk about our next film.
Oh, yes.
It's nearly Christmas. So, of course, we have to watch one of two available Nicolas Cage Christmas films. Are we going to be watching Trapped in Paradise?
No.
No, because I could not find a cheapish copy. Are we going to be watching The Family Man?
Yes.
We're going to be watching The Family Man, starring Nicolas Cage, Don Cheadle, and Tia Leone. Is that her name? Tia Leone?
I do not know who this person is.
She's an actress, and she's blonde.
I gathered. I don't know.
She's a bit boring from things I've seen her in.
Okay.
It's directed by Brett Ratner. He's a chauvinist pig and potentially a sex offender.
What could possibly go wrong?
Join us for a very festive Nicolas Cage podcast episode next time. Family Man. Ooh, yay!
Woo.
A Family Man, The Family Man.
A Family Man Christmas.
I don't know. Family Guy.
Family Man. A Family Man Christmas.
Peter and Lois and the Dog That Talks.
Featuring Bad Mums.
Oh, it's Nicolas Cage, A Very Bad Mums Christmas. Fucking hell.
But we have a treat after that. We have bought each other a Nicolas Cage DVD and we'll be exchanging it live on our recorded podcast with each other. So we've each bought a DVD. We're going to open them on Christmas Day.
What works better than on a podcast than people unwrapping physical items?
Right by the mic.
Come, hear the sound of paper and DVD cases being flipped from side to side.
Ooh, and whatever they are,
those are our January films.
Come hell or high water, there are January films.
I've already bought yours.
I've already bought yours as well. We could do it now, but we're not going to. It's too
early. I've not been mean.
Oh, I've been very mean.
Oh, fuck you.
I've got one of the lowest rated Nicolas Cage films.
Oh, you see, I've purposely picked something that I think you might enjoy. Anyway, that's for Christmas.
That's how much we think of each other.
Next up is Family Man, The Family Guy, whatever it's fucking called.
A Very Family Christmas.
It's a Wonderful Family Man. I think that's basically the plot of the film. See you soon.
Bye.
Stay safe. Bye.
Bye.
You have been listening to This Podcast is written on the back of the Declaration of Independence. If you've enjoyed the show, then maybe you could give us a subscription or a review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you download your podcasts from.
You can also find us on all the usual social media channels as Nick Cage Pod. That's NICCAGEPOD. If you really enjoyed it and would like to give us the equivalent of a cup of coffee over the internet, you can donate a small amount to our coffee page at ko-fi.com/NickCagePod. Again, /NICCAGEPOD. Thank you very much for listening.
Bye!